It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 606. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and staying subscribed to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message, and we got two voicemails I'm going to get to later. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show, Facebook, facebook.com/Mike Tech Show, and also Mike Nation Net on Facebook. Want to thank Instant House Call for being a sponsor of tonight's show. Instant House Call is a great remote control software service. You can remote in unattended. You can set it up where it's easy for you to just pick from a list, connect to your client, remote in, solve problems. It will work behind all firewalls. There's now a remote printing feature, which is excellent. You can create subaccounts, which is perfect solution for your client that needs to log on to their system. You can keep them within the Instant House Call family of remote control and showing them there's no additional cost, but you can actually use that as a revenue stream for your client in providing those subaccounts. You can try it free for 15 days. Just go to instanthousecall.com, download the trial. Remember to use the promo code MikeTechShow. I have a jam-packed show. I'm going to request talking about security tips in a second. I'm going to do that first. I have some stories from the trenches, a hardware industry observation about solid-state drives I want to get to, and I have three tips, a new malware, anti-malware program, a Gmail tip, and sharing printers, something that I ran across on Tuesday with a client, and it saved them a lot of money by doing something very simple. And then I got two voicemails and a little stack of email. So got lots to do. First thing, I have been asked to put a one-sheet flyer listing top 10 security tips. This is for older clients. I have a couple clients. I'm not going to talk about the industry, but they have lots of older clientele, and they're going to be hosting some presentations where we have an ex-FBI person that's going to be talking about identity theft. I am going to be providing a quick talk on giving them security tips. So think of an older person that you would want to advise, follow this. It can't be complicated. So let me give you an example, and I need your recommendations because then I'm going to put the ultimate top 10 list together. Here's my top ones. If anyone calls you and asks for you to do something or any information, hang up if they will not give you their name, their phone number, and the company. If they will not provide you that, hang up. Now, let's say it's one of those Microsoft scams. So if they say they're Microsoft, automatically, no. Microsoft will never call you. The IRS will never call you. So I got to put that in, I got to summarize what I just said in a couple sentences. Second, if there's a pop-up on your screen that presents you with a phone number, don't call it. I know this is obvious to you who's listening to the show, but I've had a client now for the second time dial the number and let them remote in. Now, if you've been scammed once, you would think, look, Mike taught me. Not to ignore this. So they forgot. And they called the number again. And I'm cleaning the system again this week. And it was like 6 months ago they did this. We want to arm, and I completely agree with this. This is an excellent and awesome service that they're adding for their clients. And they're going to buy a block of my hours. I'm going to do security scans and help a lot of their clients. This is going to get me a lot more business. I wanted to talk about it because it's a great idea. You can then leverage this for clients of yours that have clients that could benefit from this type of service. So let's put a great, easy, not technical, because this is for older people. This is for senior citizens. I'm almost a senior citizen. We can help them, giving them some guidelines to protect their identity, to protect their credit cards, and not be scammed. I'm looking for great suggestions from you. Hit me with them. So I'll compile a great top 10, and I'll probably go further for us and then let you pick your own top 10. And then I'll put together a nice PDF and make it a link in the show notes. Please hit me with your security tips. This Tuesday was the dental office upgrade to their new software. And I'm going to give a generic tip for the majority of databases out there. If there's no backup function within the software or within the database, first, this is a peer server, so it's Windows 7, and it does have Shadow Protect desktop on it. So I'm getting a full backup every night. So I'm not worried. But when I got there in the morning, even though there was no patients coming in, they were still updating and putting in scheduling appointments and doing stuff to the database. And there were no real instructions on backing it up before I'm now upgrading the database at the peer server and all the workstations. They have 9 workstations at this office. This office has just mushroomed out. Stop the database server services. You go to the server, go to the peer server, whatever it is. Stop the services. Close the server software. Make sure you know the name of the database and where it's located. And then copy it. You can manually copy it. This database wasn't that big. And it was only a couple files. I made sure to copy that to the external backup drive that I have before I even started, before I even went through the upgrade procedures that was provided by the software manufacturer, which were excellent. As a matter of fact, the tech support was phenomenal when I reached out and asked them, I'm going to be upgrading from version X and I'm going to your latest version. And it's because Windows 10 workstations. I'm going to be going through this next weekend for a law firm where they're going to be getting some new computers. We want them to be Windows 10 Pro, but the Needle software for their case management is on top of Sybase 11, which will not work with Windows 10. I have to at least go to Sybase 12. So now I got to upgrade the database on the server, and we got a real server there, and then upgrade it on all of the client workstations and test it out. So this week I'm going to be building the procedures and all the info from Needles support. I'll be doing that on Monday to get ready for the Saturday upgrade. Then we're going to wait a week, and we got some new computers that we're then going to come back, and I'm going to be doing some upgrades there. So we're going to be spending a long time, my son and I, getting them to Windows 10. But first, we got to make sure the database is upgraded. So these are some of the things that I'm going through in the trenches. And I wanted to share that because now we want to move to Windows 10 as best we can. And still a lot of software lagging behind that I'm seeing. That's sort of been really, really big happening. Something else that's big. I got 2 clients moving from one location to another. And I have done the walkthroughs, have the cable companies, putting all of the proper cabling infrastructure in place based on my designs. Where is the network closet going to be? Is it going to be ventilated? Make sure we got the shelves or however we're going to do on one. We got a really nice wall mount rack that I can put. It's like an 11U rack with a shelf at the bottom. And all racks are 19 inches wide. So all of your rack mount equipment will fit very nicely in there. So all the switches, they have a voice over IP. So they also have a power over Ethernet switch. Verizon Fios is already installed. I'm going to be going out there and hooking up a new HP ProCurve and getting it set up. So this way we're going to be ready for the move. My other client cabling is all done in the new office. So a couple clients going to have moves happening in February. So I got lots of weekends already. I think every weekend in February is already booked. I think this is my last free weekend that I have for a while. So I'm going to put that to good use and rest. Something else, I've been providing a lot of refurbed equipment to clients at a really good price. I've got a couple good sources for really good refurbished Dell Optiplexes. I really like the Optiplex 990 SFF, and that's small form factor, Core i5, 8 gigs of RAM. They come with a 500 gig drive that I pop out and I put a solid state drive, install Windows 10 from scratch. It comes with Windows 10 Pro key and a keyboard and a mouse and a power cord. You can't ask for more than that. Nice system, nice price. And I've been deploying quite a bit of them. So we've been very busy providing better alternatives than spending $1,000 for a new system. They can save a lot of money, get some really good performance, and get a nice system, whether it be for home or for the office. So I've been doing a lot of that. Now, speaking of solid-state drives, one of my observations for the last couple months, I hate this. The prices of solid-state drives have been just a steady increase for the last couple months. And I now have been testing, we'll call it alternative brands that I've never heard of. And before the show tonight, I was letting everybody see this one drive I'm going to test with before I dare start putting it into client machines, and it's SP. And that's just a 240 gig drive, inexpensive. But when I say inexpensive, they're still way more than they were. I mean, I was paying $50 and under for really good 240 gig drives. That doesn't happen anymore. There's drives that I paid $54 for that are now $89. They're almost the price of a Samsung. And at that point, I'll buy a Samsung. I love Samsung. They're my first choice. But clients still want inexpensive alternatives. So I'll use ADATA. I'll use Kingston. But even the Kingston drives, they're going up. Last week, I bought them at, I forget, like $60 or something. And they're now almost $70. The prices are just keep going up. Keep that in mind. I wish I had stockpiled them months ago, but I'm always afraid to do that. I'm always afraid to just lay out the investment and stockpile something because I think I'm going to get caught with them. And there's something stopping me from doing that. The prices, I don't know when they're going to level off, but I wanted to just let you know if you're in the market or you'll buy as many as you can and stock them because the price keeps going up. This happened years ago with the mechanical drives, and there were shortages a while back. But now I think it's a shortage of the material for the drives. Let's see what happens in the coming months. I just wanted to pass that along. Some tips. These are tips that I've come across. One's very obvious, but we had this expensive Zebra printer for high-speed industrial for a manufacturing client that they need labels, lots and lots of them for small parts. And we had the choice. Zebra has a ton of different models. And we want it networked. But just to have a network card on this one model It was $500 more. And we need two of these printers. So I said, look, buy the USB one. Where they're going, there's a computer there. And I'll just share it out. So it's all Windows 7. And for the life of me, it's been a while since I've been doing a peer sharing of a printer. I mean, this is pretty simple stuff for us. You know, you make sure they're all in the same work group, and they are. I can't access it. I tried everything, and I forgot about something. You have to turn off password protected sharing in the network settings and control panel. In the advanced settings, you have to check the box to turn off password protected sharing, and then everything worked. But I rebooted because even when I ticked that radio button, it still didn't work. But when I rebooted the system that had the printer connected to it, then everybody could print to it. And we don't want everybody to print to this label printer, but we got like three or four people that need to generate these labels, and they need them to print at a certain spot. By that simple sharing, we saved $1,000. I just wanted to give you a great real-world practical example of sharing a USB printer and saving a ton of money. Gmail tip. I had to dig this one up, and I've implemented it and forgot about it because I still have Google Apps for some of my domains. Matter of fact, miketechshow.com and my mhsconsulting.net is still under Google Apps. If you check the spam on Gmail on the web, and you're finding, and this happened to me a couple years ago when some client emails were getting caught there, and I don't want to miss any client email, you can set up a filter to automatically send emails from a certain domain and never be blocked by spam for that domain. It's very easy to do. I have a client that they were trying to send to their accountant, and he wasn't getting the mail. And he has a Google Apps account for their company. And he called me and he said, Mike, I'm not getting Rob's emails. You got to help me out here. And he says, they're going to my spam. What can I do? And so I pulled out this rule, and it's very simple. When you go into Gmail, you log in, the little gear on the right-hand side, click that and go to settings. Then select filters and blocked addresses at the top bar. There's options. Pick the one, create a new filter. You're going to have lots of different options for this filter. I want you to go to the section where it's under has the words. So you're going to see that. Check that. And it has the words. And put the at symbol and the domain name. Put that in there. And then click create filter with this search. You're going to get a new menu of options. Pick the option, never send it to spam. This just takes a minute. I take all of my biggest clients, all of my retainer clients, their domain, I have put in a rule under my mhsconsulting.net Gmail. I make sure that they never goes to spam. And then if I'm getting the mail under Outlook and it happens to go there, I make sure that my junk mail rule on Outlook does not send those messages to junk mail, because I've had that happen. Do this for anything that's important. So you're sort of like whitelisting under Gmail, which they don't really give you a whitelisting and a blacklisting. But this is a great way to do it, taking advantage of using the filter. So I wanted to share that because that's the kind of tips you want to get here. The last tip before we get to voicemails and emails, you're going to like this one. It's, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, Zemana, Z-E-M-A-N-A. We have a new tool or another tool to add to our toolbox of anti-malware. Test it out first. I've done this on all of my systems, and it has found some things that Malwarebytes hasn't found, that Super Any Spyware hasn't found, that JRT or Adware Cleaner hasn't found. It doesn't take long to run. They have a paid and a free version. The free version, as a matter of fact, the way you look at the website, their marketing is very close to Malwarebytes in the sense of what they're doing with anti-ransomware and anti-malware. It's another tool to add to our list where it only takes a few minutes to run that you can run on client machines. Test it out for yourself first. Download it. The link is going to be in the show notes. It's just www.zemana.com. I discovered it this week, started using it, and I'm giving it a thumbs up right now. If you find anything suspicious that you don't like about this, let me know right away. But right now, I like it, and I'm adding it to my list. First voicemail of the night.
Hi, Mike. This is Michael calling from Buffalo. First off, just want to say I really enjoy your show. Thank you for all that you do, all that you contribute to the tech community. It's always a pleasure listening to what you have to say and to gather the wisdom and the knowledge of those that are sharing within the program as well. Just finished listening to 605 while traveling in between the sites that I support, and wanted to call and comment on the whole BitLocker thing you were talking about. One other issue I've run into with that, my agency has just upgraded a bunch of Dell Latitude E6420 laptops. We took advantage of the Windows 10 upgrade, which, by the way, you can still register a Windows 7 or Windows 8 key and get the digital entitlement for Windows 10. They haven't turned that off yet. So we've been grabbing a few more of those as the need has arose. And just want to let you know, if you do, I kind of got out of order with my process when I was doing this. If you do go through the process and do BitLocker on the drive, and then do something like update the BIOS. Again, I kind of stepped out of order. I usually do that before I run BitLocker. It was asking for the BitLocker key, and unfortunately, there were a couple times that I forgot to notate that, and I had to go back and re-image the system. No big deal. I was able to get back up and running. But just wanted to mention that to the listening audience and for them to be aware if they run into that themselves. Also, one question for you and for the audience. Have an old Pentium B computer that I built, 10 years ago, probably 10 plus years ago, that still works. I cannot part with anything that still works. I just really have a hard time throwing stuff away, but I realize that it is up in the years. So looking for a creative use for that machine besides the typical retro gaming machine or using it as a firewall box. So if anyone has some suggestions on what to do with that, I would love to hear the ideas. Thanks again, Mike, for all that you do.
That is a lot of suggestions there. And thank you for bringing up the back up your BitLocker key. Absolutely. If you're turning BitLocker on, which I do on all my laptops, you make sure you take the key, put it in a safe place, and then back it up onto a USB stick. As a matter of fact, I'm holding a USB stick right now to everybody watching me live. When I have clients that have deployed BitLocker, I take their keys and it's just a text file and I put them in a directory of the computer name for that company. And each computer name has a directory and we put that file in there and then I put it on a USB stick for me and I make a copy of that USB stick for my client to put away. Very critical. Very important. I don't think I've stressed that enough when we've talked about it, so thank you. Now, the great idea, I am still doing this all the time using Windows 7 keys for the digital entitlement. Until Microsoft turns it up, abuse it in getting Windows 10 rolled out, and you don't have to spend the extra money. Uses for your system. Clearly, an old system, you're going to want to put Linux. So I would take a look at the different Linux distributions and all-in-one packages. How about using your system, put a big hard drive in there, and use it like a DVR? There's some great software out there that your system can be a DVR and just for storing stuff. Or how about a phone system for your house? Using Asterix. Maybe that's something that you never be able to take advantage of, having your own PBX at home. since you said no firewall, which was going to be my first suggestion, put Untangle on it. That's the great use for it. And the retro gaming doing MAME, that would have been my second choice, and you took them out of the way. So I would love to hear some suggestions for our listener, that, and I would love to discuss that further, other uses of good old reliable but older, slower systems. And I think the answer is Linux. So the question is, what are you going to do with it, with the Linux? And there's lots of great distributions out there today to make use of this hardware. This voicemail, a follow-up to cracking Windows 10 password from Kate.
Hey, hi, Mike. It's Kate Stir. Kate Eels calling from Kelowna up here in British Columbia, Canada. Regarding show 605, I'm not where I can get to a computer and write this all up, but in case it's an emergency for your guy trying to break into a Windows 10 computer, just really quick, two things that he can do. One, if the password is for a Microsoft account and you know or can glean the email address for that Microsoft account, he can try resetting that password from another computer by logging into the Microsoft account and seeing if any of the contact information is something that he has access to and that will allow him to reset the password. And if he knows the email address and can get it reset that way, that's just the best. If that doesn't work, the same ways that you've outlined before to use a rescue disk, or in this case, I just used the USB drive that I had Windows 10 on to do an upgrade or an install. You can boot to a command prompt. You can re-enable the hidden administrator account, just as you do on Windows 7 with a command. And because I'm in my car, I don't know what that command is, but I'm sure you do and can tell the guy. And then once you have accessed the computer by logging in with the administrator account, you can reset the other guy's password if it's not a Microsoft account, or presumably you can do something to try and find it. But I have had success re-enabling the admin account, logging in as admin, and resetting a password for a user who was not using a Microsoft ID and password. And I've actually done that on a Windows 10 home machine. I've done it many times for users who have forgotten their Microsoft password. Anyway, I hope that helps. I hope you can get this to that guy. And I'll try and write this up as soon as I can. Bye.
Kate, thank you. And no need to write it up. I'm actually playing it tonight. Thank you so much. So I have not had a crack a Windows 10 password. I still do that all the time, Windows 7. But haven't had the Windows 10 system presented to me. And that's why when the listener contacted me and I read the email, wow, great idea. So let me put it out there, and love the feedback. And there's email, as we do a nice segue to the rest of the emails for the show here. Austin sent me a link to Hiron's Boot CD, which has a password cracker, NTPW Edit. And it works on Windows NT and higher, also works with Windows 10. I don't know if it got better. I remember in the past trying to crack a password with that utility, and it didn't work. But Hiron's Boot CD has lots of other things that you absolutely want to have in your toolbox for this bootable CD, because there's other tools too, including being able to recover Outlook passwords and lots more. And you can also make it a bootable USB. Austin, thanks for the email. This is from Karen. Happy New Year. I am not a tech person, but I really enjoy your shows and I learn a lot. I have a Windows 10 machine that I started having issues with Carbonite. Turns out, when reviewing the event logs, that the device has a bad block. So that is why Carbonite was unable to start the backup. Also, I have had issues with certain files not opening, and once I moved them to a new location, they worked fine. I'm trying to avoid changing out the hard disk, as I have a Dell laptop, so it might not be easy to do. So I purchased a program called SpinRite. I know a lot of people swear by SpinRite, but I've had SpinRite destroy a drive, and it would not work on my computer, so they gave me a full refund. Do you have any programs that you recommend? And if so, do you have an affiliate link? Karen, thank you. First, thanks for thinking of me for the affiliate link. I don't know if you're going to like my advice. When I run across a drive that is bad or failing, I will not. You can tell me the best magic software that's going to fix a hard drive. No, I won't do it. I will replace it with a new hard drive. I have an idea, and I know it's going to be painful. Why not take advantage of this and put a solid-state drive in your laptop? If you have to get a regular laptop mechanical drive, they're so cheap. Put a new drive and go through the pain of resetting it up. Once I see a drive have the slightest error or problem, I replace the drive. There is no tool in the world that I would ever recommend for you to repair your drive unless you don't have a backup and you got to get your data off. Something you can do that's free and easy is do a check disk /F at a command prompt, and then it will execute that check disk on the next reboot. Then you can see, okay, it's moved data from the bad sectors to the good sectors. And you could either just keep on going with your system. Even if check disk fixed something and found something, I would still run Crystal Disk Info or something else to try to then get your data off. But you seem like you can get your data off. And I only run into trying to fix a drive because it won't boot. And we got to do something in order to get their data because they don't have a backup. And since you've been using Carbonite, what I would do is get any files that haven't been backed up since your last full Carbonite backup, get those files off the system, get them onto an external drive, and replace the drive. Let me know how you make out, Karen. This is from Rod, and some really good advice here. Comments on show 604. There was a lot of good information in show 604. You mentioned using your iMac to recover information from a bad Windows hard drive and taking the information to your Synology NAS. But I was wondering if you have ever tried plugging a drive directly into your Synology. My Synology NAS has both USB and eSATA connections. So does mine. One time, I had a Windows machine that could no longer read the data from its own hard drive. I plugged it into the Synology NAS, and through the Synology interface, I was able to recover data from the failed Windows hard drive. Rod, I cannot believe I've never thought of using my Synology trying to recover data from drives that I can't read. That is an awesome idea. I wrote him back telling him that. He continues, thanks for the information about the plugin for Notepad++. I can imagine that will come in handy someday. On a similar note, I found a new use for a software called TreeSize. I love TreeSize. I use it all the time. There is a TreeSize Free and a TreeSize Pro. I had a situation where Windows 2012 R2 server was running Shadow Protect for backup. This server was also a Symantec endpoint management server. I had upgraded it from version 12 to version 14. But after the upgrade, the Shadow Protect incremental backup started getting unusually large several times per day. In the process of troubleshooting this, I found that I can install a trial version of TreeSize Pro. The Pro version allows you to scan a hard drive, then save an XML image of that scan. Then later, you can run another scan and compare it to the saved XML file. It's a great idea. It will show you the differences between the two scans and show you what files have been added or changed. My hope is to locate what, if any, files are growing or being added between incremental backups. I am still working with this to discover what the problem is, other than getting rid of Semantic, which, by the way, would have been that's my recommendation. Go to the Semantic directories and look and see if the log files or their database Semantic files grow ridiculously large and will take over your system. I really believe your culprit is Semantic, and you got to look to that for pruning the Semantic files on that server. And last, also, I listened with interest about the workstation that shut down very slowly, and you mentioned the troubleshooting information that Winston Wolf gave about restarting every non-Windows service to find the one that was the slowest. That is simple but profound information. I had a similar situation a while back on a Lenovo notebook that started up very slowly. I never did find the cause, but I think that that troubleshooting technique would have helped. Thanks for your podcast. You provided a lot of help to many people. Keep it up, Rod. Rod's a regular listener. Thank you so much. Great comments. This is from Michael. Hey, Mike, listening to show 604, you were talking about the process you went through to find the programs that was causing issues with shutting down. Could you use this same process to help with slow startup? Absolutely. One, noting programs that start on boot up, go into services, stop each program, then restart it and see which one starts up the slowest. As always, thank you for the great information every week. Glad to hear business is great. That means you'll always have great stories from the trenches that will help all of us listeners continue to grow our knowledge and tech toolboxes. Mike, thank you. Great comment. I appreciate it. This is from Cormac. He's the one that the client, they had trouble with installing. They tried to download Windows 10 and it bricked the computer. All right. I heard you read out this and you said you might post it because he had these huge, you know, if you got permission, this huge instructions. Not a problem. Go ahead. I teach sometimes an IT class. I pulled up your podcast on the class computer and put it on the big screen and told the class this is a must listen to if they're getting into computer repair. You're doing an amazing job, sir. I heard you talk about a Facebook group on Tech Vets in the last podcast. How do I join? Oh, send an email to Carrie Holzman or myself. We will get you in there. And that's Raise the Bar is the name of that group. Also, I heard you say you're getting more into Facebook ads. I've done a course and I'm getting great results. My business is up about 60%. Facebook rewards videos. So try to make your posts videos. Here's a link to my Facebook page. Any questions, let me know. Cormac, thank you very much. And I will try to get that posted up on the show notes here, your whole procedure. I'll put it on my website and put the link to it. This is from Steven. I enjoy watching all your videos. I have had a successful consulting company from 98 to 2001. I have been working in corporate America since 96 doing IT. I have been thinking about starting another company. However, I appear to have some hesitation. With the lack of tools in the 90s, I spent the majority of my time running around. I believe this issue would be eliminated with all the new tools out these days. Well, especially remote access, implementing something like Instant House Call or something like that. You don't have to do as much running around. Though clients like to see your face. And that's something that I don't visit a client in a while because I'm doing everything remotely and they're a retainer client. You got to stop by every now and then, say hello, do some smoozing, and they got to see you because they're paying you. They're paying me every quarter. You got to have that personal contact sometimes. Have you had much success with the MSP model? No, as a matter of fact, I haven't. The residual income possibilities is intriguing. Yes, it is. Is there any good tools or incite you where you could share? I would appreciate it. I am still in search of the proper MSP tool. I actually deployed one for a client and we had to rip it out. It was horrible. I almost lost a big retainer client trying to put a managed service agent on their systems. It was 100% failure. I have been burned already by a set of tools that I thought was going to be the future for my business. And I still do everything manually. That's not the right way to do it. I know that, but it's the safe way. I could definitely use some automation, but I'm a walking example of not having that automation in place and still being successful. So, Stephen, do not be afraid to just have reliable, good remote access and have good procedures with the tools that we talk about here and I talk about on Tech Vets. Go through all of the great links from all of the past shows. There's your tools. There's lots of incredible Facebook groups where if you do run into something, post a question. You're going to get an immediate multiple responses. He finishes up, I would like to forecast sales to eventually hire help. Oh boy, very difficult. The MSP model might allow this. Actually, the MSP model, you won't have to hire people. As a matter of fact, I know some consultants that have gotten rid of bodies because of implementing certain automated tools. Forecasting is not impossible, but extremely difficult in our business. You can't guess who's going to come, what are the new referrals you're going to get. You don't know. It's very hard. The only thing I know is my retainer contracts. I know what I'm going to get every month. And my goal was always making sure there was enough retainer money coming in to pay the bills. And then over that, extra retainers and extra, I call my walk-up traffic and referrals, just sweeten the pie. Don't be afraid of getting into it and starting. I believe all of the running around town and residential customers burned me out last time. And that could burn you out again. You're absolutely right. Clients don't want to spend a lot of money if they're not going to see you. You have to spend some of that time seeing them. But having reliable remote access, that's the cornerstone of my business. And that's what I use Instant House Call for. All of my clients, every retainer client, every one of their systems, every server, I have Instant House Call on it, and I can quickly remote in and take care of issues, so long as they have internet up. Now, if their internet's down or their power's down, well, game over. You know, you got to go on site and try to help them out, but there's really nothing you can do with no power. Stephen, follow up with me. Let me know what you're deciding, what you're doing. This is from Nancy. She has a good question here. She sent me a link for the Web of Trust blog indicating that they have increased their anonymization security. They didn't outright admit wrongdoing, but I'd like your opinion as to whether it is now safe to use again. I don't believe it's safe yet. I'm writing a book for non-tech savvy users, and I sure don't need to include non-secure stuff. So unfortunately, Woot possibly won't make the cut. I agree. As of right now, I'm not ready to give the thumbs up on Woot and their changes. We got to let them see. We got to watch and keep an eye on them. And let's see if they have changed their ways. I'm always very skeptical when a company makes such a glaring security error like that. I tend not to trust them ever. Like Yahoo, AOL, I'll never trust them. I'll never trust any service that comes from them. I'll never trust anything from them. But we will give Woot a second chance, but just not yet. Terry from Arizona, final email following up on their problem with deep freeze. It's gotten worse. Computers with the problem release are now freezing up. No mouse or keyboard control. Phoronix has no fix. That's the company. We have to downgrade the software on the server. We have to delete the software from hundreds of computers and downgrade to another release. This is the best case. Once the computers freeze up on us, the only thing we can do is re-image them. Since I work for a school district, they have no money to test anything. When I worked for Fortune 500 companies, we had test mainframes and servers. Terry, does anybody have an alternative that they're willing to stand behind, that they trust, that they've used, that does what Deep Freeze does. And I'm going to put a link to this. So if you want to read up on what Deep Freeze is all about, I covered this a few shows ago. Take a look. Are there better alternatives that we can recommend? Because clearly they're having a problem with the latest version and their support seems to be really bad. That's a shame. I feel for you, Terry. If you purchase from Amazon or know anybody that uses Amazon to buy anything, please use my link, amazon.micnation.net. Your price remains the same, but a small commission comes back to support the show. I really appreciate it. Thank you so, so much. Also, haven't talked about it in a while, Fab's Auto Backup 6 Pro. Love it, love it, love it. Going to be using that again next week for migrating someone from one system to another, all their settings and their email. Tech Site Builder, techsitebuilder.com. Professionally get your tech website up, hosted, and running the way you want. Make it look good. Make it follow all the back-end SEOs people can find you. The Computer Business Kit version 3, incredible for a suite of forms and tools to help you with your computer business, whether it be repair, consulting, if you have a storefront, sample contracts, sample forms. Great, great, great. All these links, including the link for you to test out Instant House Call, will be in the show notes. Thank you so much for staying subscribed and listening to the podcast. I will be back here next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.